Good morning. You can be seated, and let's open with a word of prayer. Father, this morning we worship you as Creator. We acknowledge that you are the all-powerful, all-knowing God. We submit to your authority. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us to know you and to fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you for your word and pray that you would guide us as we look into your word this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've begun this journey the last 2 weeks, going through the Old Testament, the storyline of Christ, and we mentioned that there's biblical cords that we're going to be looking at, so we have a slide with those, but the gold cord is indicating God. There is a green cord of man. We haven't gotten to that part yet. There's black, which represents sin, red for redemption, and purple, the different seasons as God's interacting with mankind. And so this morning will be a gold cord message, if you will. We're going to look in the scriptures. And before we get there, let's look at our memory verse. There is a copy of it in your bulletin if you got one of those on a little blue slip. So it's Jeremiah 10:6. And this is the great truth we're looking at in these weeks, really throughout the series. Jeremiah 10:6, let's read this together. There is none like you, Lord. You are great. And your name is great in might. A lot of powerful verses there in Jeremiah. We're going to be looking at a few later on as well. So this morning we're going to look at God creating the angels, and then we'll briefly look at God creating the heavens and the earth, just touching on that this morning. And before we get into that, let's do a brief review. The last 2 weeks we've looked at a number of different points. One is that God never had a beginning and never had an end. He is eternal. We are not like that. He never had a beginning. He's the only one that could accurately record the beginning of all things because he's the only one that ever existed before everything began as we know it. And before this universe existed, God didn't need anyone. God didn't need anything. We talked about last week that he didn't need all these normal things that we need, right? Air, food, water, light, time, space. He lives by his own power. He is self-existent. We talked about the fact that God is spirit, that he doesn't have a physical body. And then lastly, that God is sovereign, meaning that he is a supreme authority. He's greater than anyone, anything. And whether we're talking about the spiritual world or the physical world, God is sovereign. He's in charge. And as we'll see as we go along, almost from the beginning of time, mankind has rebelled against that thought that someone is in charge over me. And as we begin to look at God's creative acts in Scripture this morning, I was thinking that in the last 200 years, particularly, there's been an attempt to reason away the record of God as Creator. We know that evolution has become a very popular theory. And it's not a surprise, is it, that it's a popular theory? Because when you think about it, we, as mankind, our bent is that it draws us to rebel against a God who is in charge. And we have two options. We can believe that you and I, the earth, the plants, the animals, everything that we see, all exists because of chance. It just came around, and that requires billions of years. Or we can recognize that there is a supreme creator who's in charge of everything, you and me included. And the scriptures present God over and over again as the supreme creator. Even if we didn't have the scriptures, think about this. Even if we didn't have the scriptures, there is rational reasoning to intelligent design. This last week, just a few days ago, we were driving over to Sierra Vista to see the fireworks. And as we're driving along Davis Road, I remember at one point seeing a plastic bottle just rolling in front of the vehicle, right? Blowing in the breeze as cars passed it. And as I saw that plastic bottle, I didn't think that plastic bottle just happened to come into existence. No, I recognized someone designed even the simple plastic bottle, right? The size, the shape, the fact that it's got the certain thickness to the plastic, so it's not too thick, not too thin, even it's got a cap that screws onto it, you know. So whether it's a simple plastic bottle or you're on the beach and somebody leaves aluminum can behind. We see these things that we don't just think they just happen to come into existence by themselves, right? The elements just form themselves. We don't think that about those things, let alone complex machinery, right? And the world, of course, is far more complex than a plastic bottle. And as we see the world around us, the amazing way it operates, it begs the answer that there's an intelligent designer. In Vacation Bible School just a few weeks ago, we focused on God as creator. And there was a day there especially, I think it was the first day, when our teachers were presenting the case that evolutionary theories really don't make sense. So we had a number of slides that went up. We'll repeat those this morning because this is really neat stuff. But as you look at the oceans, there's not enough salt in the oceans for this earth to have existed for billions of years. It does line up, though, with an earth that's just several thousand years old. But you can see there's this input of salt. There's so much that goes out, but it's always getting more and more salt in the oceans. And then we looked at the fast-forming stalagmites. They take this bottle, and in a cave, you know, there's these minerals that are depositing themselves on the outside of this bottle. And obviously, maybe that's a plastic bottle, not sure. Obviously, this didn't form over the course of millions of years. We haven't had these kind of bottles that long, right? So it shows that actually stalagmites can form rather quickly. And then we looked at the fact that there's really not enough mud on the ocean floor. If you fly along the coastlines, any coastline in the world, you'll always see these rivers. And you'll see, as the water from the rivers is coming to the ocean, you'll always see a large brown area. That's all of the mud, the silt, being carried by the rivers into the ocean. It's continuously happening every year as there's rain and these rivers are flowing. But if you look in the oceans, there's not enough mud on the ocean floors to account for billions of years of history. And then lastly, we looked at how there's the mountains, just the fact that we have tall mountains on the earth still, and we don't have a flat earth, shows that there's not enough time to account for erosion that's always happening. Every year, there's winds, there's rains, and we had some pretty good rains this last week, and you know, you can see the dirt is just moving, flowing with the water. It happens all the time. Anybody ever gotten water to flow uphill? Has anybody successfully done that? Water doesn't flow uphill. It only flows downhill. So these are examples of how billions of years doesn't make sense, but what we see in nature, the evidence is that our world is just a few thousand years old. But when you think about it, evolutionary ideas, they really are popular because they remove God from our thoughts. And if you and I are here because of chance, then there's no God. And if there is no God, I'm not accountable to a creator, right? And if I'm not accountable to a creator, then it doesn't matter how I act. It doesn't matter how I treat other people. It doesn't matter how I treat myself. Anything is acceptable. But what the Bible presents fits rational thought, in that this amazing earth, the planets, the universe, you and I included, all are a result of God's awesome, powerful, creative acts. He's Almighty God. So He is sovereign. He's the supreme authority, and He's greater than anyone, anything, whether we're talking about the spiritual or the physical world. And so this morning we're going to look at, as I said, the biblical record of God creating the angels, and then we'll just touch on God creating the heavens and the earth. It's somewhat of a topical sermon. We'll be looking at scriptures in various places, so we'll try to have most all of them, at least the references, up on the screens. And some would say, these are just the words of man. But if you start off with the rational thinking that there is a creator, and that just makes sense, that God is all-powerful, then it really doesn't take special faith to believe that God inspired the writers of the Bible after the creation event to record what happened, creating the angels, the heavens, and the earth. And He revealed that to the biblical writers. Number one point this morning is God created all the spirits. And people have various beliefs about the spirits. People would only recognize the physical world. And they would say, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist, right? That's one side to be on. And then others would totally believe in the spirit world. They would see good spirits and bad spirits. There's many of animistic people around the earth. Sometimes we picture those people as living in faraway villages, but they can be sitting in an office chair in a large city as well, 50 stories up. And there are many people that are trying to manipulate the spirits. They recognize them, and they're trying to get the good spirits on their side and the bad spirits to avoid hurting them. And so the spirit world has gained a lot of attention in today's society. It seems like every city has psychics, and they claim that they can communicate with the other side. And there are many people that are preoccupied with angels and spirits. There's witchcraft, there's the New Age movement. All these are seeking ways to link up with the spirits. So there's a lot of opinions out there, but God's Word is the only place that we can go to tell us who the spirits are, where they came from, and what's their purpose here. Unlike God, the spirits are not eternal. They were created by God. And as I said, we're looking at various scriptures. Most of the series, we're looking at the Old Testament, but we'll be bringing in New Testament scriptures. So the first scripture we have this morning is Colossians 1:16. We already sang this, right? Colossians 1:16, talking about Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And we talked about in past weeks, there are three persons, one God, but three persons who are the one God. So Colossians 1:16, speaking of Christ, says, "By him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." And notice that there are positions that are mentioned here. There's thrones, there's dominions, rulers. Some Bible translations have the word principalities, and then authorities. These are all various positions of authority. And of course, behind these positions of authority, there are created beings. These refer to the spirits that were created by God. And the scripture also refers to them, of course, as angels. God created the spirits before he created the earth. Do you remember Job, that man that had this long conversation with God in the midst of his suffering? In Job 38, in that section there, God is rebuking Job. And he starts off in Job 38, verse 4, and he says to Job a question, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" And of course, Job's answer would have been, "I wasn't there." That was the point God was making. But you come down to verse 7, and God tells Job that he created the earth, and it was a time, he says, quote, "when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So we might ask, who are these morning stars? Who are these sons of God? There's poetic parallelism that's in action here. And if we were to look back in Job chapter 1, it's clear that the sons of God are angels there. They're also referred to in this passage as morning stars. They're not literal stars, but they are referred to stars in Scripture sometimes because they were given this glorious position of authority by God. And Job 38:7 makes it clear that as God was there, he's creating the earth, that the angels were already in existence. He had already created them. And a neat thought is that here they are, they have this awesome privilege to see God creating, exercising his creative power. And what do? They sang and they shouted for joy. It's like they're saying, "Wow, look at this." They got to witness God and all his creative acts there. So God created the spirits before he created the earth. They were around at the creation of the earth. Next, God did not create the spirits with physical bodies. So they're not limited by time and space as we are. But they cannot be everywhere as God can. We know God can be anywhere. They are limited to being in one place at one time. There are some times when in Scripture they do appear as humans and have some other physical form. Some examples of that, there's several, but in Genesis 18 and 19, There's the record of Abraham and Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember in that story, there's a part where it says these two men approached. Well, later they're called two angels. And also in Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection of Christ, just another example, the women, you remember they came to the tomb early in the morning. They had those spices. They're going to try to anoint the body. Of course, he was already gone. And who appeared to them but two angels? They appeared to them as in human form, but they're identified there as angels. So just a couple of examples there of angels that appear for a time with physical bodies. And God, we know he created the angels with a special purpose. They were created by him to be his servants, his messengers. In Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21, the psalmist there says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you who serve him, doing his will." And so it's obvious that the angels were given that special purpose of serving God. And the angels rightfully belong to God. Why do they belong to God? Because, obviously, he made them. Some of our children understand this morning, they had a craft, and they made a mask this morning. Any of you kids, did you bring your craft in? Can you hold it up, just kind of show everybody? I saw several of them that were, as I was coming in. They were holding them. Yeah, there we go. These are Paul as he was blinded, right? And that's, is that why the eye sockets are black? Yeah. Yes. Okay. So they've created these masks. They've got some paper. I think I saw a little fabric on there, some popsicle sticks. And they put these together, and these children, they own these masks, right, because they made them. They rightfully belong to these kids. And just like that, God is the owner of everything and everyone that he has created, including the angels. Next point is God created the angels to be perfect. He created them as perfect. As we look in the scriptures, never does the Bible give any indication that God created the angels as anything less than perfect. And it would only make sense that God is a holy God. He doesn't create anything evil. Everything that he thinks, everything that he says and does is perfect. He created the angels perfect. And he gave them this mighty intellect and this power to do his will, to carry out their purpose. We just looked at Psalm 103, verse 20 a moment ago, bring out a different point. But notice there that they're referred to as being mighty in strength. And so the angels have this power to do remarkable things. God gave them knowledge. He gave them understanding. But unlike God, they cannot do everything. They don't know everything. If we were to look into the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Peter talks about a time where at least for a time the angels didn't understand the gospel message. And he said that this great gospel message was something that the angels, they longed to look into understanding the gospel message. There was a time when they saw Jesus living on the earth. They knew who he was. They saw him teaching. They saw him later get arrested and put on trial. And when they saw him crucified, surely that was a confusing time for them, just like it was for the disciples. So there was a time when they longed to look and see, what is God's plan? They're not all-knowing. And we might ask, why are the angels limited in their power and their knowledge? It's because they are created beings. They are not like God, but they're created by him. And so they are finite and limited, just like you and I are. But God is infinite and unlimited. Well, some people may wonder, how many angels did God create? Simply put, God created a vast number of angels. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, there's a lot in Revelation that if you just do a word search on angels, there's a lot of times angels pops up in Revelation. But Revelation 5:11 says, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So how many angels did God create? Well, if you're good at multiplication, maybe you did this in your head already, but 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. How many of us have been to maybe a concert or a stadium, and you've been around maybe several thousand, maybe a few 10,000s? Yeah, that's a lot of people if you get people in a stadium. But I can't imagine what that would be like to be around 100 million other beings, right? So is that how many angels there are? No. This phraseology here, this is Bible talk for a countless number or a huge, great number. It's a description that's also found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. The same description. But here in Revelation 5:11, notice that John's writing, he says it's 10,000 times 10,000. And then he adds, and thousands of thousands. It's almost like he says, no, not even 10,000 times 10,000 is enough to describe how many there are. So he adds on thousands of thousands. So there were many. I don't know how many, but probably more than 100 million. Next point is, in the beginning, all the angels served God in heaven. Where is heaven? I can't point to it, but in the scripture, heaven is mentioned many times. It's a real place. Psalm 11:4 says, the Lord's throne is in heaven. Heaven has been called like the throne room of the universe. And we also see in the Gospels, not only did the angels serve God in heaven, but when Jesus Christ was on earth, the angels were serving him. Remember when he was out in the wilderness, 40 days fasting, he was being tempted, and the angels at times there, they were ministering to him. They were serving him during that time. And it appears that from Scripture that God didn't create all the angels exactly the same. Some were given more wisdom and more beauty than others. And the greatest angel that God created was Lucifer. And today we're just going to briefly mention Lucifer. He comes up later in the biblical story. But it seems like he was given this position of leadership over the other angels. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it's an interesting passage there where God is giving a warning to a king of Tyre. It was a coastal city on the Mediterranean Sea. And in that warning that God is giving through Ezekiel to the king of Tyre, in verse 13, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And so it's obvious at the time this was written, this king hadn't been living that long. This king of Tyre, he was never in the Garden of Eden. But it's a clear reference to Lucifer, where this king is being compared to Lucifer here. And in Ezekiel 28:14, one verse later, it calls him, Lucifer, the anointed cherub who covers. Cherub is another word for angel, and that word covers means to guard. And it seems that God made Lucifer as a protector of his throne. And he, like all the other angels, he was created blameless, without sin. And one verse later, Ezekiel 28:15, it says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. So we see there the angels were created, and Lucifer was created as perfect, and he was created as the greatest angel. And then we're going to get into this morning that God created the heavens and the earth. And again, we'll just briefly touch on this. And where do we go? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hopefully we all know this, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. This was the beginning of time as we know it. Of course, God is eternal. He did not have a beginning, but this beginning that we're referencing here is when God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, they created the universe and everything in it. And as we looked at earlier, the angels, they were there watching. They were praising. They were worshiping God as they created, they watched him creating everything. And God created everything from nothing. And that is to say, everything had a beginning. God created the universe and everything in it out of nothing. We've already talked about that God has always existed, but it's important to understand the universe, everything in it, did not exist before what we're talking about the beginning here in Genesis 1:1. Nothing existed. That word Genesis, it means beginning. It means a origins. And the book of Genesis is recording how everything began. And so we might ask, since absolutely nothing existed before the beginning, what did God use to make the earth? What did he use to make the sun and the stars and the moon and so forth, the whole universe? And I realize this next verse, all these verses keep coming out, even before I got up here this morning. But John 1:3 says very clearly, again, it's speaking of Jesus Christ as creator. John chapter 1, verse 3. I appreciate Jeff reading this earlier. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Literally, not one thing came into existence that he did not cause to come into existence. And we see a similar teaching in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, where the writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. When God started creating, nothing existed yet. That's an amazing thought. It just blows my mind, right? Because for us to make something out of nothing, it's impossible. So imagine the kids in their Sunday school class, they got their masks. Imagine if their teacher gave them the assignment and said, okay, kids, today for your assignment, I want you to make a mask. And maybe the teacher would describe how it looked like and everything, but the teacher didn't provide them any materials, no paper, no glue, no popsicle sticks, no markers, nothing. What would the kids do? Wait. They might look back and say, is she feeling okay? This is a little crazy, right? Because we can't make things out of nothing. It's incomprehensible. A couple of years ago, Cindy wanted some shelves built to put in a closet, and I found it was a simple project, but only because I could go down to the store and I could buy lumber to make the shelves with. I could buy screws. It was also an easy project, but only because someone else had figured out how to take existing materials and make a table saw. And it was only an easy project because someone else discovered how to make electricity to run the table saw. So for me, it was kind of an easy project, but I had to start with existing materials. But God created everything from nothing. And how is that possible? It's because he was all-powerful. That's our next point here. God is all-powerful, and nothing is too difficult for God. Another passage from Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. This is a great passage, this whole chapter here. Jeremiah says, O Lord God, behold, you yourself have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you. So angels and all human beings, we're all limited in what we can do, but God is almighty. He's fully able to carry out everything that he plans. Some chapters later in Jeremiah 51, verse 15, he writes here of God, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he stretched out the heavens. God is all-powerful. And then Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. And maybe that should go with our next point. God is all-knowing. God didn't have to acquire knowledge. He didn't have to go to someone else and get help figuring out things. God is all-knowing. But you think about the way we learn things, maybe from books, from talking with other people. They teach us things. How many of us have been to a YouTube university? Yes, I see a few hands going up. Many of us use this new phenomena of YouTube university. Recently, we bought a car that was new to us that had this cartridge oil filter. And I don't know about you, but I've been maintaining cars for decades that have spin-on oil filters. So I had to go to YouTube university to figure out how to change my cartridge oil filter. What's the torque? I used to have one torque. Now there's three different torques. So I went to YouTube University. Cindy recently, she's gotten into making this whole wheat sourdough bread. She's gone to YouTube University. A lot of good things about learning about bread making on YouTube. It's great. But we are constantly learning and discovering. We require outside sources to learn. But God, He's always known everything. He's all-knowing. Because God existed before anyone else. There was no one there to teach Him. And there's nothing that He doesn't know, nothing that He doesn't completely understand. And that's a comfort to us in our relationship with God as we pray to Him. He understands us and everything. And He had all that knowledge ready, available to do everything that He did, creating the universe. He's greater than all, and He's sovereign ruler over all creation. And then we read Genesis 1:1. We continue on in verse 2, and we see that the earth was formless, and it was covered with darkness. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "The earth was formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." So the earth was without any kind of specific form at this time. God had not yet organized all the stuff in it. He had created the materials, but He had not organized it. And light did not exist at this time. And that is difficult for us to understand, except I've been in a cave. Many of us have been in caves, but you go into a cave, you don't have to get too far in before it's so dark, right? You can wave your hand in front of your face and you can't see anything. It's like the darkness is so strong you can about feel it. And that's the kind of darkness that was over covering the earth at that time. And there was also no dry land. There's a lot of water at that time. Today, the water covers over 2/3 of the earth's surface. Hard for us to understand in the desert, right? 71% of the earth's surface is water. There's plenty of water there to cover the earth, but God hadn't brought up the continent yet at that time. But there's plenty of water to cover the earth. The earth was uninhabited. Not only were there no people, but there was no life, no plants, no fish. It was desolate emptiness. But God the Spirit was ready to create everything. Even though there was no life on earth, you picture the Spirit of God. He was there. He was poised, ready to start exercising His creative power there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit created everything. The triune God. He's the source of all energy, and He alone had the power to create and set everything in motion. And when I think about the awesomeness of God, that He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, I think, why would anyone not want to have a relationship with our wonderful, loving Creator? The Scriptures, just the fact that we have the Scriptures is evidence that God wants to reveal Himself. He wants to have a relationship with us. And in the coming weeks and months, we're going to see over and over again that God cares for people. And I am so thankful for that truth. I'm looking forward to the study. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was given and gave His life as a substitute for us. And the only question for us, the only question for mankind all around the world is, do you believe? Are you trusting that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that that was payment enough for your sins? The Bible says it was, and that's a wonderful truth. Let's close in prayer. Father, this morning we, as we've looked at these scriptures and talked about just briefly the angels and You beginning to create the earth and this world, this universe, we realize we've just touched on these things, and some of them may seem basic, but we also realize many people don't have these understanding. They have different opinions. Lord, help us to be sensitive. Help us to be salt and light and share these truths, to be convinced of them if we are not already, and to share them with others. And we thank You that we can worship You as Almighty God, all-knowing. And we just acknowledge this morning that we are not. We are not all that. We are nothing compared to You, but we thank You that You care for us, and you give us the privilege to know you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for him giving his life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I've enjoyed worshiping this morning. Hope you've had a great morning as I have. And I'd encourage you to read through Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And next week we'll be looking more at the account of creation. So looking forward to that. Have a great week. You're dismissed.